You're listening to the Raising Humans Kind podcast with family psychologist Ashley, where we dive into the big topics, the stuff that really matters in raising your small humans kindly, so that together we can raise humankind. In this series, you're going to hear solo episodes from me all about the needs of our stuck and sensitive kids. I hope it challenges you, and I hope it inspires you to find your own unique pathway in raising your small human kindly. Good morning, wonderful humans, and welcome back to another episode. So many of you have been asking me to talk about siblings. And I've been saying, yes, 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 I'll do a podcast on it. And it's never been flowing. So it's taken me a very long time. So thank you for your patience. Today, I'm going to finally talk about siblings. So I've also decided that next year for the membership, we are going to dive into 6 months of content on siblings. I'm really excited about this. So this kind of 6 months, we've been focusing on parenting fundamentals, which is all of the practices and the tools and the understandings that I use to work through my triggers, to stay emotionally regulated, to basically be able to parent in the way that aligns with my values. And then in the next 6 months, so the start of next year, we are going to do a deep dive into siblings. So each month, that means I will release content based on siblings, sibling dynamics, how to manage it, how to be conscious around it. And I'm really looking forward to that. So if you want more around siblings, keep an eye out for when the membership opens, which will be January again next year. So I just decided this morning at a very last minute after having a beautiful session with an amazing client around school refusal and just noticing that actually a lot of my clients are having these challenges right now because in the Northern Hemisphere, you're all going back to school for the start of the school year. And so I've decided to run a live class on school refusal because one of the things that this beautiful mum was telling me was that my approach is different to any other psychologist that she'd worked with before. And she was saying, but it's really hard to shift the way that I think because everybody else says that if I let my kid avoid school, it's going to get worse. And she said, you've just transformed the way that I think. You have this completely different view about alarm and about school refusal. And so I want to share more of that with you because I think she's right. I think we have this one framework of school refusal, which is based on the behaviorist model of if we ever let a kid have a day off, then they're never going to be resilient and they're never going to be able to do hard things. And it's actually not true. It's not what we know from developmental science about what kids need in order to be able to access their bravery and in order to be able to do hard things. So I want to share that with you. So go to my website and go to School Refusal, or I'll just drop the link below in the show notes and you can click over there and sign up for the masterclass. And as of course, let me know if you've got any questions about what will be involved or what it'll be like over at Instagram at Raising Humans Kind, or just send me an email. Okay, so let's get into today's episode now. So today I want to talk about the topic of siblings. I was noticing the other day that my kids were just in constant conflict. It was one of those mornings where everything was annoying everybody, and it was just one of those mornings. And so I just noted down 4 of the things that I did to manage that conflict, and I thought I would share that with you today. Okay, so we were on our way getting ready to go to the beach. So we weren't even doing anything hard, which is always the way, isn't it? We were doing something that everybody loves, that everybody was excited to go to. It was our homeschool day with our friends at the beach. There was no resistance to going to the beach, but everybody was just feeling a little bit off and things were just a little bit hard. So the first thing I did when I really noticed that they were having this constant struggle and they couldn't agree on anything and they were arguing over lots of things, one of the things was that I did was I said, right, everybody needs 10 minutes on the trampoline. And of course, one of my kids said, I don't want to go outside. And I said, I get that. I totally get that. But you are both really struggling to communicate with each other now. And that tells me that your body just needs to move. Let's go. So it was a non-negotiable. It was not a negotiable. There was so much tension and frustration in the home that everybody needed to move their bodies. And I think that we often get caught up in this idea of, I need to teach a lesson. I need them to know something. There's a skill that they not yet developed, which might be true. But so often, and so much more than that, it's actually the emotion that's driving the behavior. And when we shift the emotion, then the behavior changes, right? So when I get them outside and jumping on the trampoline and moving their body and physically moving their body, then they're moving the energy that was creating the tension. And so at that point, we're getting from the heat of the moment to the heart of the matter. And that's the key. Sometimes it's not about teaching. Sometimes it's not about communication. Sometimes it's just about shifting the emotion that's leading to them being kind of at each other and struggling to communicate. So that was the first thing, is just an absolute non-negotiable that everybody needed to jump on the trampoline. The second thing was that I would model conflict resolution neutrally. So often parents get caught up in this idea that they have to solve their children's problems. And that is going to cause a lot of tension and frustration in you. So whenever I'm supporting them through their conflict, it's always my aim to stay completely neutral and just coach them through it. So for example, to the upset child, I might say, you really wanted that. You really wanted the ball. You really wanted the ball. That one there, you really wanted that ball. And then to the other child, I might say, and you think you had it first. It feels like it's your ball and you don't want to give it up and you really don't want him to have the ball. Oh, huh. Okay. Huh. That's tricky. Now, it's not my job to solve their conflict. It's not my job to work out who should have the ball. And the moment that I find myself needing to solve their problem, that's the moment I'm going to start to send myself into a spin on, you know, trying to be fair and trying to be equal and trying to come up with some solution that is probably not even going to work. And so what's really important to understand is that we can actually free ourselves from needing to solve their problems. And this is where I just sit in it with them. And so if I take off the responsibility of being the problem solver, then suddenly I actually have a lot more energy to sit in the muck with them and to wait it out and work it out. And so then eventually one of the kids is going to come up with an idea. And then I might say, okay, let's check in. Does that work for you? And the other child says, no, it doesn't work for me. And then I might say something like, ah, that doesn't work for him. Okay, what else can we do? Now, depending on the time you have, if you're rushing out the door to school, you're not going to have time to do this. So this is not a strategy that you can always use, but I think it's an important process because it shows children how to sit in the challenge of conflict and stay there. And this is what most adults don't know how to do. We flee from conflict, or we get aggressive, or we get reactive because it's uncomfortable. And that's the work for most of us adults, is how do we stay in communication? How do we stay connected to our bodies and connected to our partners when we're disagreeing? And that energy, to be with that energy, is really challenging. And it is the, you know, what leads to many people reacting, sulking, getting aggressive, saying things that they regret. So when we sit in this process with our children, we're showing them how to just sit in the discomfort of wanting separate things. And we're showing them how to work through ideas until both people feel heard and feel satisfied. And so it's not always easy to find the time to really sit in these processes. Luckily for me, we were heading out to the beach and there was no idea of actually being late. But if you are prepared to sit in it, and truly be there and truly stay grounded and neutral, this is when often siblings will work it out for themselves. And they will come up with solutions that you never could have thought possible. And on top of that, it gives them this beautiful experience of learning how to sit in the challenge of conflict. So that's the second thing that I did, is I was modeling their, or I was holding space for their conflict very neutrally, and I was just coaching them through it. So I was coaching them on how to check in with the other person and whether that other person was also satisfied or whether they needed to keep coming up with ideas. And then the next thing was when I noticed my eldest take over something that my youngest was doing. He kind of got up in his game and started taking over and making it his game, basically. And so I said to him, If you're going to go into somebody's space and somebody else's game, you need to work out how to communicate in a way that works for them. Because what I was seeing was he was being bossy, he was taking over, he was taking control, he wasn't using kind language, but none of that was going to land with him. I didn't need to use any of those words or label what he was doing. I just needed to remind him that when you go into somebody else's game, you need to communicate in a way that works for them. And immediately his energy shifted into collaboration and working in a way that his brother could get on board with. Because deep down he knew, right? He knows that his brother has the right to say, I don't want you to be part of my game anymore. You're not making this fun for me. This isn't working for me. And so he knows his brother has a right to say no, because that's how we do it in our family. You don't have to play with your sibling. If you want to play by yourself, if you don't want to share a toy, that's completely fine. And so he knows that if his brother wasn't on board with the way that he was playing, he was allowed to say, actually, I don't want you to join me. I don't want you to be a part of my game. And so he had to shift the way that he was communicating. And I think that that's a really powerful lesson too, when we say, actually, he has the right to say no. And so how are you going to communicate in a way that allows you to get what you want, which is to join into the game? And of course, age, stage, emotional regulation, there's a lot of nuance there that this would not always work. But it is one of the things that I did, so I thought I would share it with you. And then at some point along the way, we also had like a little family team reset. So this actually didn't take long. I think sometimes it can take longer and be a little bit harder, but I brought both my children into my bedroom. And I said, come here. I've got something I want to talk to you about. Come on. And I brought them into the bedroom with like a kind of whispering, engaged type of voice. And I asked them what they wanted to do for the day. And I asked each of them what they wanted to do. And they said they wanted to go to the beach with their friends. And I was like, me too. That's really handy. We all want the same thing. Okay, so can we be a team so that we can all get to the beach? And I just used this moment to kind of reconnect and recalibrate and get them to see that actually we're all on the same team. We all want the same thing. And so then I'd ask them, okay, who's going to clean up the kitchen before we go? And they'd say, Mum. Okay, who's going to pack the bags? Mum. And then I said, this doesn't sound like much of a team effort, does it? And they smiled and smirked, because even at 2 and 5, they're clearly aware of what it takes to get out of the house. And that at that point, all of the jobs were laid onto me. So we talked about what they could do to be on the team to get us there. And what were the jobs that they could do to contribute to us getting out the door. And then we did a little special kind of family handshake to show that we were on the same team. And it just took a few minutes, and it's not something I do all the time, but just in that moment, I had that feeling that actually these kids need to be orbiting around me again. They need to remember that we're on the same team. They need to remember that actually we're all trying to get to the same outcome. And without lecturing them or blaming them, they weren't being very helpful in getting us to the outcome that we all wanted. And by just reconnecting as a little team and reminding us that we're all trying to get the same thing and how can we all help each other and doing a little special handshake was the thing that kind of stopped it escalating. It didn't fix it. It didn't make it all better. They didn't suddenly become very cooperative, but I got them just a little bit more back on track. I got them connected with me again. And I was able to remind them, you know, what's your part in getting us to the beach and what are you going to do? And it shifted the energy a lot. And I think that's what sometimes happens, is when sibling conflict gets more and more challenging and everybody's getting more and more escalated, we can often unintentionally, but, you know, we can often contribute to that by getting more and more frustrated and then more and more controlling. And sometimes we just all need a little bit of a reset and a little bit of a reminder that we're often actually working towards the same thing. So, just to do a little bit of a recap, the first thing I did was have a non-negotiable around moving their bodies. So we have a trampoline, and that's a perfect way for us to do that. And so They had to spend 10 minutes on the trampoline moving their bodies. And part of that is just to emotionally reset and to make the day go smoother. But part of that is because I want them to understand when they're bickering, when they're arguing with each other, when they're in conflict with another human that they actually love, sometimes they just need to move their body to shift the energy so that they're not going to be so reactive. And that's a lesson that I want them to deeply understand. I want that imprinted on their nervous systems. That sometimes it's not about learning a new skill or getting the language right. Sometimes it's just about moving your body to move the energy. And so we jumped on the trampoline. The second thing is that I'm really neutral around supporting them through their conflict. So I try not to pick sides. I try not to make decisions for them. And I try and help them sit in that muddle and that muck and that discomfort of being in conflict, because it's such a beautiful opportunity for them to learn how to communicate with each other and how to check in on the other person's needs and how to advocate for what they desire, even when their bodies feel really uncomfortable. But I'm there to make sure that people aren't getting aggressive, people aren't blaming each other, people aren't walking away, that we're really staying in it. And the third thing was that when I noticed my eldest take over and react in quite a bossy tone, I didn't use the word bossy because that was going to make him more reactive. I just guided him to cue him in to remember that if we're going to enter in somebody's game, we need to work out how to communicate in a way that works for them, in a way that makes them want us to be there. And that was enough. That was all I had to do, was a little kind of neutral reminder. And then at some point through the morning, we also had a morning team reset where we just tried to reconnect for a few minutes, remember that we're on the same team, do our little fun special handshake, and just get them back connected with me and following my direction and following my lead. Because sometimes when kids are really playing with each other and they're orbiting around each other and they're getting more and more wired, it's really hard for them to want to focus on you and your direction and what you want for the family. And so pulling them together and reminding each other that we're a team and that we wanted the same things and working out how we can contribute to that was a really important reset. Okay, so that's just four tiny little things that I found myself doing in a morning with my kids where I noticed there was a lot of sibling conflict and I was having to work through a lot. But as I said, I will be sharing a lot more inside the membership as of January on siblings. So if this is something that you struggle with or something you want to go deeper into, keep an eye out for that. Okay, so that is all I have for you today. I hope you have a beautiful weekend wherever you are in the world. And I can't wait to share more with you again next week. Thank you for joining me. If you loved this episode and want more like this, leave a review or screenshot this podcast, share it in your Instagram stories and tag me at Raising Humanskind. This is such a powerful way to support the podcast and means it will reach more parents who need to hear this message. And if you want to dive deeper, check out the show notes for all the further information so that we can raise our small humans kindly, and together we can raise humankind.